We do have some, I do have some slides up here, and we'll look at those occasionally as I talk my way through. But the first thing that you might want to take out, well, it's right there on the front of your handout, is just a little overview of what Peter and I hope to cover this morning. And the way we hope to actually conduct each session is very similar to last term's. A little bit of input from out the front, and then some time together to be doing something in our small groups, and then come back and just to round off the morning together. And because I can't help it, and I'm a teacher, then you'll get homework. And so don't be daunted by that. It's really just my way of saying, let's dig deeper into what we've been talking about, and let's try and embed that into our thinking and our practice. So it's not meant to be a burden, but hopefully as you do the different things that I'm inviting you to do each week, you will find that this is perhaps something different that you've not done before that you like and is helpful, or maybe it's revisiting. Maybe I'm talking to people who could tell me a great deal about prayer, and you'll go home and you'll think, oh, Christine. But hopefully as you redo some of these exercises, it will be helpful. So I think we could have our first slide, please, Nicholas. Thank you. It did occur to me that it might be useful for us to actually ask ourselves, well, why are we bothering to do this? So there are three reasons, actually four reasons that I came up with, and you could probably think of more if you tried. The very first reason that we're doing this is that prayer is important. Prayer matters. Now, we know it matters for a number of reasons. So the first one is that Jesus himself prayed. And I've written some Bible verses down there which demonstrate that. I'm not going to read them all, but I am going to read two. We know that Jesus prayed, and it does occur to me that if Jesus prayed, then really we don't need any other reason to be praying. But we know that he did. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, I beg your pardon, after Jesus had healed some people and been in disputation with the Pharisees, we read in Luke 6 verse 12, in these days Jesus went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose from them 12 whom he named apostles. So at the point of doing something very important, Jesus spent a considerable time in prayer. Or in chapter before, Luke chapter 5 and verse 16, verse 6, I can't read my own writing, I need new glasses. Forget it, wrong one. The saints of the Bible prayed, Abraham did, Moses did, the prophets did, Paul did, we know that Daniel did, and we know the prayer in Daniel chapter 9, an extended prayer that Daniel made on behalf of his people. And we read in verse 3, then I turned my face to the Lord God, seeking him by prayer and pleas for mercy with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and made my confession. So we know that prayer matters because others did it, important and godly people did it. And we know that it matters because God has specifically told us that he wants us to pray. I've given you a number of Bible references there, and I will read just two. Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Paul, in writing to Timothy, says, first of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Saviour, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So we're looking at this, first of all, because prayer matters. We're looking at it secondly, because prayer is good for us. Next slide, please. And you will have these seven reasons on your handout. It's page number 3 on your handout. There's no need for you to look at it now. It's something you can look at later. So we'll just go through those slides, please, Nicholas. We know that these are not my ideas. They're taken from a book called Practical Religion by J.C. Ryle, who was a great bishop of the English Church in the 19th century. If you get anything, hold of anything written by Bishop Ryle to read, you'll be greatly encouraged and benefited. And so he suggests that he gives seven good reasons why prayer is good for us. It's necessary for our salvation. We can't have salvation without asking for it. That's fairly obvious, isn't it? The habit of prayer is one of the marks of being a true Christian. He says it is much a part of the believer's new nature to pray as it is of a child to cry. He says it's a very neglected duty as Christians. And somebody else has said, prayer will consume sin or sin will choke prayerfulness. We have a choice. Are we going to be people of prayer and allow that prayer to guide our lives as we put ourselves through the scriptures into God's hands, or we ignore the opportunities we have to grow? Number 4, God encourages us in our prayers. It has been said that a Christian never prays alone. There are always 4 people at least in a gathering when a Christian prays. That's the person themselves who is praying, the Father to whom the person is praying, the Son through whom the prayer is made, and the Holy Spirit who is guiding and ordering the prayer. So God encourages us by giving us the tools that we need to be able to approach him in prayer and then to actually make prayer to him. And number 5, we need to pray if we're going to grow. And as Ryle says, prayer obtains fresh and continued outpourings of the Spirit. It's the surest remedy against sin. And number 6, neglect of prayer is one great cause of backsliding. In other words, if we want to avoid sin, we need to be people who are both reading the scriptures and then praying those scriptures into our lives. And Ra makes the point that people fall in private, in other words, their behaviour when nobody is watching, long before they fall in public. So we need to be attending privately to prayer to avoid backsliding. And helps us to recognise our dependence on God for our teaching, our training in godliness and guidance in decision making. And last of all, number 7. Doesn't matter, it's okay, because it's on your sheet. Prayer is one of the best recipes for happiness and contentment. Thankfulness expressed in prayer will shield us from grumbling and discontentment. So 7 good reasons to be encouraged to pray. Prayer is very good for us. We do need encouragement to pray. It's not a natural thing for us to do. And so we need to ask God to help us to pray. We're easily distracted and discouraged. And so doing this study together, I hope, will encourage us to pray more. And it might be that out of this time of study together, there'll be lots of praying groups form as a result, as we connect with one another in our groups and as we seek to uphold and encourage one another. And thirdly, there's a lot out there written about prayer. And so this particular course that Peter and I have put together is, we hope, a way of helping us clarify our thinking about what it means to pray in Jesus' name. In other words, to have his concerns and his character at the forefront of our thinking. So you've got an outline of what we hope to cover inside your handout. And so we'll be looking at those particular topics each week, focusing on a different petition of the Lord's Prayer, but extending that to look at how that might play out in our prayers. All right, now Peter's going to come up and he's going to speak to us a little bit about what prayer is and what prayer isn't. And you'll find some opportunity for making notes there on your outline.
Thanks, honey. Folks, yeah, my outline looks a lot longer than Christine's, but let me assure you it won't take too long. So what is prayer? That's the question I've been asked to address. And let me just suggest to you very simply, prayer is, yes, this is on page one, underneath what Christine was sharing with us. Prayer is fundamentally speaking to God, the God of heaven and earth. And we know what it is, as Chris has already mentioned, because one of the things the scriptures do is we can eavesdrop on the prayers of great ones, certainly in the Old Testament and in the New Testament as well. And as New Testament people, I forgot to bring the gospel lenses today, but as New Testament people, Jesus taught us just what prayer is and what it is not. Now, we go, of course, to Matthew chapter 6 and also Luke chapter 11, because you'll know that they are both places where Jesus uses the Lord's Prayer. In Luke chapter 11, he says to his disciples who say, "Teach us to pray, this is what you should say." And then in Matthew's version, he says, "You should pray like this." So it is partly a prayer that can be used, as we use it in our services, but also as a model prayer of how we might model our praying. And that's what we're going to do. One thing Chris didn't mention is that next week we'll hand you out a little prayer folder, which we will give you some inserts for, which if you're not in the habit, and as Chris said, there are many here who no doubt have very organised ways of prayer, and we don't want to suggest they're wrong and we don't want to replace them. But if you don't have organised means of prayer, we're going to offer you some suggestions, and they'll come week by week. So what does our Lord say when the disciples ask the question, "Lord, teach us to pray"? He says in Luke chapter 11, "When you pray, say." And the first and simple point I want to make is that prayer is fundamentally words addressed to God. It's as simple as that. Prayer are words addressed to God with the intimate kind of address as Father, our Father. I'll be looking at that in more detail next week. Prayer, secondly, makes requests of our Heavenly Father. And you'll see there that there are seven points that I've put down there. But after we pray, "Our Father in heaven," that his name will be hallowed. His name will be honoured. Which reminds us that the intimacy of Abba, that is, that we can call the Creator God of heaven and earth, the Holy God, our dear Father, was hard won by the Lord Jesus on the cross. We can't just rock up to God without our sins having been dealt with. And the Lord Jesus, of course, when he taught the disciples that, hadn't done that yet, but that was his whole purpose in coming, to provide a way of forgiveness that we could call him our Father. But of course, the hallowing and the honouring of his name will keep us from turning intimacy into presumption or carelessness. You know, we just rock up into God's presence without being very thoughtful about it or without having confessed our sins. Secondly and thirdly, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." Put another way, we are not seeking to impose our will upon God, but what we're doing is we're actually aligning our wills with his. Don did that very well for us this morning, didn't he? But we align our wills with his great kingdom plan. And that, of course, will keep us from parochialism in our prayers. You know what I mean by parochialism? Where we just focus our prayers on a very small, narrow basis. And, of course, the worst parochialism is where we just focus our prayers upon ourselves. Not wrong to pray for ourselves. Do not hear me saying that. But the prayer that Jesus teaches is big. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Fourthly, we ask for daily bread, which means daily needs, not our wants or our luxuries. Fifthly, forgiveness from God, very much at the heart of the Lord's Prayer. And of course, the recognition that the forgiveness that we've received, which is all of God's grace, will be shown to others as we forgive others. It's obviously important because after in the Matthew version, Jesus spends another couple of verses cementing that point. Sixthly, to remain firm in the face of temptation. And seventhly, to be kept from falling prey to the evil one. Now, we learn from other passages that there are some other aspects of prayer that are perhaps not covered in the Lord's Prayer. And one of them is thankfulness, of course, 1 Thessalonians 5, and the seeking of wisdom, James chapter 1. So, essentially, prayer is an expression of our dependence upon God and is our part in relating to God as a child with a loving father. So it's about asking, it's about expressing dependence, but it's also about building that intimate relationship of a loving father with sons, adopted sons and daughters. Almost always, this involves words on our part. There are two exceptions. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 to 27, which reminds us of the Holy Spirit's help when we're overwhelmed and we just can't get the words out. That's true. And perhaps also in 1 Corinthians 14, where the apostle speaks about tongues, but he does say we might pray in the Spirit, but we'll pray with our minds. So essentially words. Now, what is prayer not? Well, prayer, and I hope I'm not too controversial here, prayer is not fundamentally God speaking to us. Got to be very clear on this one, brothers and sisters. There are a lot of people who are teaching that prayer is fundamentally listening to God. But prayer, we listen to God through the scriptures, do we not? We speak to God as we respond through prayer. This is why Bible reading and prayer ideally belong together. God to us and then we to God. And so, for example, very briefly, in Matthew chapter 4, we have the wonderful example of our Lord and Saviour in combat with the evil one. What does he do? He quotes the scriptures. Get behind me, Satan. Man shall not live on, and in this wonderful statement, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, which for us, of course, is in the scriptures. So, however, when we read and pray, we should expect to hear from God as we read the scriptures and as we pray the scriptures in. You see what I'm saying? We mustn't come fundamentally in prayer expecting God to speak to us. But if we're combining prayer with our Bible reading, then in that process, God will speak to us from the scriptures, and especially as we've read something in the scriptures and we make it into a prayer. Of course God will speak, but what I'm simply saying is prayer is fundamentally us speaking to God, not God speaking to us. The distinction's important as God speaks to us through his word and as we speak to him in prayer. Both are wonderful ministries of the Holy Spirit. The scriptures, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Prayer, we're moved by the Holy Spirit to pray. Both are wonderful ministries of the Holy Spirit. And the reason I'm making the point is that if we expect primarily in prayer God to speak to us, we'll end up stopping reading the Bible. It's as simple as that. Whereas that would be obviously a wrong thing to do. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Bible reading, God to us, prayer, us responding to God. The other thing, two other things, is prayer obviously is not to be done so as to be seen from others. Remember, Jesus says that in Matthew chapter 6. He says, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. And you remember the awful words of Jesus? They have their reward. What's the reward? To be seen by men. Perhaps praised by men. Big deal. But then Jesus says, but your Father in heaven who sees in secret, he'll reward. So prayer is never simply to be seen by men. Nor is it effective according to the Lord Jesus because we speak many words. The problem of the pagans was in verse 7 of that same chapter is, but when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. Why? Because your Father knows what you need before you ask. And I'm going to cover that next week. So, babbling, many words, trying to manipulate God, are not part of a Christian's prayer. God will change us as we pray. And so, friends, there we go. I think that by making those points, you see, and by listening to what Jesus is saying, that'll rule out fear. We don't come to a fearful God who we don't know. And we do not need to manipulate God. Why? Because he is a gracious and loving Heavenly Father whose will we can trust and whose hands we can safely commit ourselves. Thanks, Christine. I think I kept within the 10 minutes.
It's a miracle in itself.
Yes, indeed.
All right. So it's over to you now. So I'm not sure whether you're aware of which group you're in. I've got a list. I'm sure Heather's got a list.
List on the window at the back.
List on the window at the back. So the idea is that we'll spend 20 minutes or so in our groups, and at the bottom of your note sheet, we've got your 7 encouragements to pray there from J.C. Ryle, which you may want to look at again as a group, but I'm not really wanting to lay that on you necessarily. 2 questions for discussion, and I just want to say right at the outset that because we're focusing particularly on prayer over the next 8 weeks, things may be said in your group which the person who said them might be very unhappy about if they went outside the group. So I want to stress at the outset that anything that is said in the group stays in the group, because I'm going to be inviting you to pray for each other. And so I want, please, if you would remember that, to be to hold things confidentially within the group. But at the same time, you may wish to use what's been said in the group as a way of praying for the people who are in your group. So the questions for today have been, what have you found to be your greatest hindrance to prayer? And what have you found to be the greatest encouragement to pray? Now, you can make that as personal or as arm's length as you wish in the group. And the group leaders don't know this. Nicholas, there's somebody at the door who may wish to speak to you, I'm not sure. I have put a sheet of butcher's paper and a marker pen out at each group just so that we've got these ideas and thoughts before us. You might wish to make a record of what people suggest on that sheet, because at the end, I want you to pray for each other. I want you to thank God for the encouragement that he gives us to pray, and then I want you to ask for God's help in overcoming the challenges that have been identified in your group.
Sorry, Christy, I didn't really